Okay. So before beginning Bhagavatam, we just want to greet the devotees who are watching us. We got a lot of devotees watching us from around the world. Anjani Singh, Juan David, Vikash, Chan, Sudesh, Singh, let's say Madhava Sangani, Edwin Chandra, Govinda Mohini, Sadvi in New Zealand, Bhavin Patel, and a few other people watching this morning from Sydney, Auckland, and I didn't see anyone from the United States. Okay, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th chapter, text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so we're in Brisbane here, so I have to tell people where we are, we're watching. So I guess you don't have the verse written out, so I'll just read the verse myself. Ramastamaha purushara purishayanna kantasamaksham masata parvritta shravate Kyokta trapasya palamadja jugupsitasya yachami kala hivakartur alangri virya. So we can do the word by one synonyms. Ramaha. Lord Ramachandra.
Lord Ramachandra.
Tam. Unto him Ravana.
Aha.
Said. Purusha ada purisha. Purisha, you are the stool of the man eaters. Rakshasas. Yat, because. Naha, my. Kanta, wife. Asavaksham, helpless because of my absence. Asata, by you, the most sinful. Aparita, was kidnapped. Shravat, like a dog who takes food from the kitchen in the absence of the proprietor. Te, of you. Jakta trapasya, because you are shameless. Palamadya, I shall give you the result today. Jugupsitasya, of you the most abominable. Yachami, I shall punish you. Kala iva, like death. Kartuhu, of you, who are the performer of all sinful activities. Alangriya viryaha. But I, being omnipotent, never fail in my attempt. So translation. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravan, you are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnapped my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. The purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Hijai. Nachadaivat param phalam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so sinful and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramachandra. This is the disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asacham apratishtam te jagat arhur anishram. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident, and that there is no ruler, king, or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Nonetheless, because atheists are Rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is to be punished. Okay, so read the text again. Namastamaha purushara purishayanna kanta samaksham matsatha parivritta shavate tvakta trapasya palamadya jagupsitasya yachami kala kiva kartur langra viriyaha. So Om Aganat Vananda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's several things going on here. What Prabhupada talks about here in the purport is what's called the exoteric understanding of this particular pastime. Exoteric means that, you know, Ravan's a demon, Rakshasa, and he's not religious. He's kidnapped the goddess of fortune, and as Prabhupada would say, that he wants Lakshmi without Narayan, and therefore he gets Durga, he gets in trouble. And the word Durga means to move with great difficulty. So that's the exoteric or common understanding of this pastime. But I'm going to talk today about the esoteric understanding of this pastime, so which most people don't know about. Of course, we know that Ravana is actually a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think most of you know that, right? That there's the story of Jaya and Vijay, and Jaya and Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras, and they came down and they took birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Dantavakra and Shishupal. And then later on as Ajagaya Madai in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So why is the Lord calling his devotee this, when actually he asked or wanted his devotee to come down? Because when Krishna enacts his pastimes, he enjoys fighting with devotees. He doesn't really enjoy fighting with non-devotees. And when Krishna's, there's an interesting story that one time, it's in the 10th canto, when Krishna was challenged by a non-devotee, someone who didn't come from Vaikuntha, Krishna didn't even want to touch him. His name was Kalyavana. Kalyavana was not from the spiritual world. He wasn't Krishna's devotee. He was definitely a Yavana, you know, just low-class person. So Krishna didn't want to fight him, although this person challenged Krishna. So what did Krishna do? He ran away from him. And as he was running away from him, Krishna was very tricky. He ran into a cave where his great devotee Muchukunda was sleeping. And Muchukunda had previously fought for the demigods, and he had received the benediction he could rest for a long time. Anyone who disturbed him would be burnt to ashes. So Krishna ran into this cave. Muchukunda was sleeping. Krishna covered Muchukunda with his own cloth, so it looked like Krishna was hiding out or sleeping. And then Kalyavana comes into the cave and kicks who he thinks is Krishna. It's actually Muchukunda. And Muchukunda wakes up and burns Kalyavana to ashes. So the reason I'm telling that story is it illustrates that Krishna really doesn't come down to kill demons. That may come as a surprise, even though it says in the Gita that Krishna comes down for Janaya, Sadunam, Vinishaya, Shadushkritam, and he does these things. But these pastimes or these activities of killing demons, establishing religious principles, and protecting the devotees can be done by Krishna's energies. Krishna doesn't have to come down to do that. Because Krishna has amazing energies. He has Durga, who's riding on a tigress, who's capable of torturing everybody. Just like you see there. She's the warden of this prison house, the material world. You know, Krishna has her. He could just say, you know, kill the demons. And she says, okay, yes, sir. And she kills them all. And Krishna doesn't have to bother to come down. So Krishna doesn't really come down for that purpose. He comes down for his own purposes. And his own purposes are to enjoy ras. You know, ras means like a taste. It doesn't mean relationship. Sometimes the devotees mistranslate the word ras as a relationship. But it means a taste. Just like we have this very tasty milk sweet called rasamalai. You've heard about that before? So, and there's different rasas even in the material world. There's different, even as far as the tongue is concerned, the sweetness, there's a sweet rasa, there's a bitter rasa, all sorts of different rasas. And the tongue has different, as a doctor you know this, the tongue has different parts that taste different tastes or rasas. Like the tip of the tongue is for sweetness. That's why when you see a child with a lolly, the tip of the tongue turns red because they go like that, rubbing the lolly on the tip of the tongue. So anyway, so that's what a rasa is. So Krishna, he's the rasagya. You've heard that word before? Rasagya means the knower of ras. Also rasa vihari, which means one who enjoys ras. So like Krishna likes different tastes. And in the spiritual world, some of the tastes that Krishna would like to enjoy are not present. Like ghastliness, like fear. You understand? There's indirect rasas, there's direct rasas. There's five direct rasas. And those are, you know, the Shanta ras, Dasya ras, Vatsalya ras, Sakya ras, Vatsalya ras, and Madhurya ras. Or in English, that means passive ras. And the next one is servant ras. The next one is friendship. The next one is a parental affection for Krishna. And the next one is the conjugal ras. So you have these five. However, Krishna likes to flavor them. Just like you have different vegetables and you like to put some masala on the vegetables, right? Garam masala. You know what that is? Okay. Hot. Of course, when you're feeding babies, you don't put garam masala on the vegetable, do you? No, I don't think so. So, but when you're feeding adults, they like garam masala because it flavors, let's say if you have any of these different vegetables, and they have different rasas. Each vegetable has a different ras. It's called a primary ras. Like broccoli, I'm thinking of Western vegetables, or daruka, has a certain ras to it. And then you flavor it, because daruka by itself doesn't taste so good. You have to flavor it, right? So you have to have a little bitterness, tomato sauce, or something like that. So in the same way, Krishna has these five rasas. In the spiritual world, that not all of the seven indirect rasas are present. Like ghastliness is not there in the spiritual world. Or, you know, and fear not to the fullest extent is there. And then anger, it's there, but not really in the spiritual world. So Krishna, as I said before, he is rasa vihari, is the enjoyer of ras. So he wants to express or feel all these things completely. And here we see this is what's happening in this particular verse in purport. That Krishna is getting angry at Ravana. He's chastising him. He's calling him names, which is really interesting because you see the perverted reflection of that when you watch a soccer game, right? You ever watch a soccer game? Cricket? What's your favorite sport? Swimming? What? Oh, running. Okay. So, at least, so when you run, do you call your opponent's names or no? No, you don't. You're more brahminical. You're more brahminical. But anyway, I know in other sports.
Yeah, soccer we watch sometimes.
Soccer, you know, they call the other team names, don't they?
Yeah.
The bad names.
Yeah.
I remember when I was young, of course, we didn't play soccer. We played this American game called baseball. And you start yelling. When the other person gets up to bat, it's something like cricket. A little similar to cricket. When the other person gets up to bat, you start to call him names. You know, to sort of discourage him, to get him angry. Does that ever happen?
Yes.
That goes on like that. So that is a perverted reflection of what Krishna enjoys. The reason we enjoy these things, because I don't enjoy those, the reason that people enjoy these things is because everything here in the material world is a reflection, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like the 15th chapter, he describes that the material world is like the reflection of a banyan tree on a bank of a river, where everything is upside down. But the real banyan tree exists. But the false banyan tree that we're trying to enjoy in this material world through the material rasas doesn't exist in the sense that it's temporary. It's here, yes. It's not completely unreal, but it's temporary. And so when we try to enjoy the rasas in this world, like in a soccer game or something like that, the end result is we get angry and upset and miserable. And you can see that. If you go to a soccer game, I'm not saying that you should, but if you go to a soccer game after the game, you know, people are getting drunk. Do they drink here in Australia?
Yes.
Yes, they do. I assume that they did. And they're actually miserable. Or when I was a new devotee, we would go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books in front of movie theaters. And so we knew not to approach people when they were coming out. Why? Because they weren't drunk in the movie theater. You don't drink in a movie theater. But because they were miserable. They were miserable. So that's the material world. Happiness in the material world may appear like pleasure in the beginning. That's happiness in the mode of passion. And then at the end, it's poison. Krishna says this in the Gita. Even we used to distribute books in this place called Disney World. You know, Walt Disney World?
Yes.
You've heard of that before. And so people, when they got out, after spending hundreds of dollars going on all the rides, they were completely miserable and angry, and you couldn't distribute a book to them. It was impossible. I mean, they were just like, every time you approach them, it was just like they're ready to strangle you. You know, because they were so fried out, all their kids were screaming the whole time. And so, but when they were going in, they were so blissful that they would take a book, oh, Hare Krishna, Jai. Not that you say Jai, but anyway. So they were, because they had that expectation of happiness. But in the material world, it's only an expectation. So Krishna here, Lord Ramchandra here, is enjoying teasing his enemy, insulting his enemy. And why is he doing that? Well, he enjoys that, but also he wants to get Ravana angrier. So, because he enjoys fighting. He could kill Ravana like that. He could just desire that Ravana would die. There's no problem. He's God. Krishna is Aptakama. Whatever he desires happens like that. There's no question of it. He doesn't even have to do anything. Just like when he creates the whole material world, what is he doing? He's sleeping. Right? Is it the Mahavishnu? You know that? Mahavishnu is lying down in the Karana ocean. Lakshmi is massaging his feet. He's asleep. He's yoga nidra, not like our sleep. And the whole material world gets created. See, he doesn't have to exert himself in the least to do anything. But Krishna He enjoys this fighting. Just like when you hear about Hiranyaksha fighting Lord Boar, you hear the story that Lord Boar lets him go for some time. Just like a cat when it's playing with a mouse. I don't know if you've ever seen a cat play with a mouse or a cat play with a bird. It intends on killing the bird or the mouse, but it lets the mouse go, and then it gets it again. And it lets the mouse go again, gets it again. And the cat is enjoying. You know, maturely. So that's the way Krishna is too. Because everything here is also there in the spiritual world. So Krishna's enjoying. He lets Hiranyaksha go as Lord Boar. Or he lets Hiranyakashipu go. And the demigods, and he also has, just like you have a stadium here. You have stadiums here? Mm-hmm. When you have games and everything like that. So Krishna also has his stadium. He has the demigods who are watching from the bleachers. Bleachers means the seats. And they're watching and say, oh, kill him, kill him. So it's just like a soccer game. Krishna's pastimes with Ravana. And that's why Lord Rama is doing this, because he's really enjoying himself. And really, Sita Devi never got kidnapped. In any case, it was Maya Sita who was taken or kept safely by the fire god, Agni. And this Maya Sita, incidentally, this whole pastime is very interesting. She fell in love with Ram too. You may not know this story, so we can tell a little bit of that story. Maya Sita, because she was acting like the real Sita, and so she was always chanting Ram's name when Ravan would approach her. And she was just saying, Ram, Ram, Ram. And so by this chanting, she actually became a great devotee of Ram too, and she wanted to marry Ram. So after this whole episode where Ravana was killed and the real Sita came, Maya Sita said to Ram, I want to marry you. And Ram said, I can't do it because Eka Patni Vrata. You know, he'd taken a vow only to marry one wife. And then Ram said, because you want to marry me, I guess I'll do it in a future incarnation. And so then after some time, there was this interesting story that occurred. In the future incarnation, Vishnu, or Narayan and Lakshmi were there in the spiritual world, and this sage, his name was Brighamuni, came and kicked Lord Vishnu. The reason he kicked Lord Vishnu was testing to see if Lord Vishnu was in the mode of goodness. Because if someone is in the mode of goodness, you kick them, they don't get angry. That's how you can test someone. Well, you can test your guru. Don't test your guru that way. But anyway, just because if you test the wrong person, you're committing an offense. But anyway, so he was testing. First, he tested Brahma. He didn't kick Brahma. He just like didn't properly offer respects, and he tested Lord Shiva. He insulted Lord Shiva, and then he kicked Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu apologized. He said, "I'm sorry. You know, my chest was too hard for you." But Lakshmi didn't like this. So what Lakshmi did is that she ran away. She said, I can't stand this. You're insulted and you don't do anything about it. I'm taking a vacation. So she went down to the earth planet to get away from the whole thing because she was really upset with her husband. So even Lakshmi gets upset with her husband sometimes. Which is interesting. So it's all right for the ladies to get upset with their husbands. Even Lakshmi does it. So she went out. She went on vacation, and Vishnu, because he didn't have Lakshmi, he didn't have any money. It's an interesting story. You know, without Lakshmi, Vishnu is without Lakshmi. So, it's a pastime. Obviously, Vishnu can create unlimited Lakshmis, Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevimanam. But this is a pastime. So he comes down to Earth to look for Lakshmi, and he's on Earth. Looking everywhere for Lakshmi, and he doesn't find her right away, but he finds this other girl that he falls in love with, which is Maya Sita. Again, this is part of the whole same story. He falls in love with Maya Sita, but the problem is because he has no Lakshmi, and Maya Sita is from a high-class family at this point, he can't marry her. And so he's wondering, what can I do? I want to marry this girl. Mayasita. And she's not called Mayasita then. She's actually called Bhudevi. This is actually a story from Tirupati. So he actually approaches her. She said, I can't marry you unless you have a place for us, unless you have money. So then he goes, Lord Vishnu, goes to Kuvera and borrows some money at a high interest rate. Like, 50% per month or something like that. Kuvera is the treasure of the demigod. So he borrows the money from Kuvera. So Kuvera gives him the money. And then he borrows takes a place to live from Varahadev, who's also in his incarnation. Varahadev has this very nice place. It's actually on top of this hill called Tirumala Hill. This is the story of Balaji, actually. And so then he gets married to Mayasita at that point. So they have this marriage ceremony, and a very nice marriage ceremony, lasts 3 days. And they get married, and he's dressed like a prince at this point. And then they go off on their honeymoon. And right when he's walking away from the marriage ceremony, who shows up but the real Lakshmi? And the real Lakshmi gets really angry with Narayan. And says, how can you do this? How can you do this? And then she gets angry at Mayasita, because Lakshmi and Sita are the same person. So she gets angry at Mayasita, and they start having arguments. And Lord Vishnu, Narayan, he doesn't want to hear two women argue like that. So he thinks, how can I get out of here? This is too much for me. So he basically turns himself into a deity. And then you have Lakshmi and Maya Lakshmi, or Mayasita. They see what their husband has done, and they turn themselves into deities too. And those deities are known as Balaji and Sridevi and Bhudevi in Tirupati. That's a Tirupati story. So anyway, so that's why it's related to the Ramayana, the Tirupati story, because Lord Vishnu said that he would marry in a future incarnation Mayasita, and he actually did that. Nice story, isn't it? So anyway, so basically what we read about here is that Ram, who is Vishnu, who is Krishna, there's only one God, is enjoying. He's really having a good time. He's a dramatic actor. Even though it appeared that he was crying after Sita Devi was kidnapped, so-called Sita Devi, was Maya Sita, kidnapped by Ravan. Even though he threatened to destroy the whole universe at one time, unless Sita Devi was brought back to him, he was enjoying like anything. It's like children, they play different games or they take different roles in different dramatic performances. So Vishnu is just having a good time, and this is what we're reading about here. So all the pastimes of the Lord are the Lord enjoying himself. If you ask about the Lord's psychology, whatever he does, it's to have a good time. It's out of love, it's to enjoy Ras, everything he does. And so that's why these pastimes of the Lord is so enjoyable. Because it's Krishna, and that's what we want. We want Krishna to have a good time. That's a devotee's mentality. So any questions about any of these things? Questions? No? We'll see if anyone online has a question. Well, we got a lot more people now. We got 56 people watching. What's that? Well, I have to put you on there so they can see you. It's in Dowji's house. It was a pretty big house. The living room is as big as most temples in ISKCON. It's the altar. So I guess that's it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Guru Sharma is watching us.